So on we go. Calvin Faulkner sent an email saying thanks for the classes and thank everybody and thank Don and thank everybody for taking part in them. He's really enjoying them online. Yeah, from Dropbox. Consider yourself so thanked by Calvin.
You're welcome, Calvin.
There was a dude.
Yeah. Turn around. Give us something. Bless you.
I knew that was coming.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Yep. We were moving right along here, aren't we?
We are.
I'm impressed. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Are we going to do a whole review or should we just leave it? Oh, by the way, Jiang's father, Bill Messen, is in the hospital. He's been in for about 10 days. He may be dying. So if you say prayers for him, that would be useful.
What is his name?
Bill Messen.
Bill Messen. Okay.
Yeah, I'll write it down. And his wife, Eva, is really scared. So I'll write it down for you. Okay. Is that a deal? Hi. Just think of Jiang's dad. That'll do. Mm-hmm. He's, what, 89 or something?
Oh, goodness.
But he doesn't want to be 89. He really is very independent, very...
Accordion player.
Yeah, accordion player. Mm. And he's been teaching accordion for years, and they've been living on the same house on Center Street. And is it Center Street or Edmonton Trail?
Know.
In Calgary for 50 years or something. So now he's in the hospital, and you know, his wife, who is not Jiang's mom, her mom lives in BC. They separated many years ago. Is also getting chemo for cancer, so they're both in some, but his mom is doing better than his dad. Her mom is doing better. Her dad is kind of caught a little bit by, you know, he's lost a lot of weight and like that. So it's at the same hospital, Foothills, where Jalen works. So when she's sitting in the room with her dad, and the staff comes in, they say, oh, you're the chaplain here, okay, we won't. And she says, no, no, I'm off duty, this is my dad. And she says, but then I can't go to the nurse's station and look at the charts or anything. It's really, really hard. It would be hard. Because she's so used to being able to know, you know, what all the inside info, and relatives don't get that information, do they?
That's strange, isn't it?
Hmm?
It's sort of odd. I mean, there's always that one circumstance that makes the rule sort of not quite justice.
Yeah. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. So shall I do a whole review, or shall we just carry on from...
Let's do a review.
Okay.
Short review.
A short review?
Reader's Digest version.
Okay. Right view. Two kinds. Relative and the absolute. The relative has two steps. First one is hearing something. The seed is planted. And then it gets watered by every time you're told it again or you remember it. And so eventually it starts to grow. The second stage is when you suddenly understand it for yourself. The absolute view, right, absolute state, description of right view is the four noble truths. There is dissatisfactoriness. There is always hunger. Isn't there? For another movie, for a cigarette. Oh no, not you. For
coffee.
For coffee. There's always this hunger for the next moment.
Longing.
Yeah, longing, hunger, whatever you want to call it. And they call it in Buddhism becoming. The next moment. Talking. Anything, right? No, it's the next moment, the next moment, the next moment. There is dissatisfactoriness. Because it's never the present moment. There is a cause for dissatisfactoriness.
Grasping.
Yeah. There is an end to dissatisfactoriness. The end is realizing, being able to see that there isn't any fixed identity. Because as long as you think there's an I who's justified in what they want, you think of that as a permanent identity, don't you? Mm-hmm. And when you see how much every I arises dependent on sense objects or the mind, isn't that true? Car goes by, a different thought goes through. Or they're going really fast, or they were going the wrong way, or, you know, something. I wonder if that was an Impala convertible, or, you know, something goes through. But we don't necessarily see all the different flips up, do we? A lot of them are what we call unconscious. Sometimes we don't see why our mind wanders, do we? We just catch it when it's already wandered.
Pretty seamless.
Yeah. And it would just come up so subtly. We won't even know that it was some aroma that came through the air or something. Suddenly we'll be remembering, you know, our mother's perfume when we were five or something, out of nowhere. And we won't connect it to, oh, that's a self arising dependent on a sense object. And there is a path to the cessation of suffering, which is the Eightfold Path, which is a circle. The beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning. It keeps turning and turning until you have an experience that allows you to see what the screen on which the movie is playing, is my favorite way of putting it. You've heard that from me more than once, haven't you? No? Yes? All good.
I can't go to a movie anymore.
Because you start watching the screens?
That's right.
Good.
It's interesting.
How about these ones? Oh. Well, no, it's not. Sometimes.
Okay.
So right thought is the second one, isn't it? Is it? Nobody's here? Oh, nobody's here. I don't need to do a class.
Yes.
Right thought, aspiration to learn to do good.
To cease to do evil.
Yes.
First one, cease to do evil.
And grasp to purify the mind and so on.
First of all, cease to do evil.
Okay.
To catch yourself, feel how you feel when you cause dissatisfactoriness or harm or lie, or learn to do good. See the difference between when you actually do something that's generous. Purify the mind of what?
trying to be right.
No, duality. That there's a right or wrong. Not only just right, but wrong too. Purify the mind. See that it isn't. There isn't any rule. That every moment is spontaneous. Mm. Open yourself to see that, you know, the Anomamo can kill men, but the Cree can't. Depends on the circumstances, and, you know, two people can do the same action, but their motive can be different, and the results are different. One person can yell at their kid, and the kid gets traumatized, another yells at their kid, and it stops them from running into the traffic. Is that possible? So it's like not having a set of rules beyond good and evil, but being in the moment and acting with compassion. And then that altruism takes us to thusness. This is the teaching of all of this. Thus.
Takes us where?
To thusness, to just the moment.
Okay.
Just the opening. To a state of being. Because as long as we're being dishonest or thinking we're more important than someone else, or somebody else is more important than us, or we're both equal and they should realize that, or you know, the 1001 movies we play. You do know them, don't you? How many times we think we're better or we're worse, mm-hmm. or we're equal to, or any of you ever do that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear me? Did you hear me?
No.
Oh. Sometimes we think we're better than someone else. Sometimes we think we're worse than someone else. Sometimes we think we're equal to someone else, don't we?
Okay.
Do you ever do that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably all the time.
Yeah, and to actually realize that that's all thought based on the present moment judgments that are not anything to do with being in the moment. And that's a different experience altogether, isn't it? Just being. So it's like purifying the mind, going beyond better or worse or equal, just being in the present. And that takes us into a different state, where there's not a lot of chatter going on, there's just an openness. Does that make sense? So that's the thusness. This is the teaching of the Buddhas. If awakening is already present, how are we going to find it if we're always looking for something other than that which is present?
Hard. I know.
And it never works, does it?
No.
Never works.
Years.
And it isn't something that we have to get. It's something that is already present. The Buddha nature is already present in all conscious beings. Humans have a little bit of an advantage. We can review. Can't we? Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
There's a cave up there.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, to say, oh, that didn't feel good when I did that. May I not do it again? Not, oh, I shouldn't have done that, because that's just the opposite, isn't it? It's not saying, oh, I learned something from it. Oh, I don't want to do that again. When do you learn? When you know that you don't want to do something, or when you think you shouldn't have done it? When one part of you is standing apart from the other one and saying, you shouldn't have done that. Doesn't that feel kind of familiar? Isn't that like negative thought? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go, oh, I don't want to do that again, isn't that a new understanding that's arising in you? May I next time see it quicker and not do it? That's like an aspiration, isn't it? No? Do you hear me?
I just wondered why, for me, it seems to be a little difficult, this thing of authority. Mm-hmm. This, the approach. That it works well with what it's trying to do.
What does?
Something like that, where you're saying, well, that's, you know, that's could be better, or it's not what you want, or
that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Isn't that more true, but then I shouldn't have done that?
This judgmental thing of seeing that, like,
then the negative thought starts.
I don't know, I'm trying to say I had a difficult childhood.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of a problem because it doesn't work on me, anyway.
What doesn't work?
Just to say, okay, I'm going to do that now,
No, you don't say, I would like to do it, you say. You don't say, I am going to do it. Because that's just another rule. You just make an aspiration. Oh, that feels better. I'd like to do that again. Next time. You don't say, I'm going to do it.
So it's the approach, the working with it.
Yeah, the working with it, rather than putting yourself down or thinking you should be better or...
I'm making big drama.
Yeah. Just saying, oh, I think I'm learning something here. Oh, I think I got that. Oh, I'd like to not do that the other way again.
Just let it go.
Let it go.
Because if you're holding on to it, then it starts changing maybe.
Then pretty soon that becomes the habit of like always thinking you're going to do the wrong thing. So you do it over and over because you're trying to push it down and it's going to explode. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm working with it, but there's different... Sometimes it's
sometimes
crazy.
It happens
so
right
simple,
away.
And other times it...
That's right.
You're grinding your teeth. I said, there's still something missing here.
Well, how very normal of you.
Join the club.
You're normal. What'd you say?
Join the club.
Her too, she says. How about you?
Me too.
Him too. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Him? Oh, yeah. You? Yes. Oh, yeah, you?
Yeah,
you
mean?
Me? Yeah? That's right. But then you don't blame yourself for that. You say, oh, I forgot to remember. I hope I remember next time. You don't blame yourself. You say, oh, it doesn't matter if you catch it 5 days later. Only that you catch it. Because then you're starting to practice choice. If you just keep doing the pattern of putting yourself down or putting yourself up or making yourself equal, you don't have any choice. But if you make two patterns, then you got a choice.
It's a trick question, isn't it? I'm just going along with the flow.
Which flow, the new one or the old one? The only way you'll find out if it's true is if you try it. If you think about it, you don't know, because it's just a thought. If you try it, then you'll know. If you think about riding a bicycle, that's all very well and good. But if you're sitting on the bicycle trying to learn to ride it, you have to do a different thing, don't you?
Yeah, very hands-on.
Yeah. That's what this is like, learning how to ride a bicycle for the first time. You have to trust yourself that if you fall off, that's not the point. The point is you're trying to stay on. Because your aspiration is to stop beating yourself or stop making yourself as good as others, or, you know.
But a person who is not familiar with aspirations, you know, it's kind of difficult to try to get some.
There is no human being who is not familiar with aspirations. It's just that the people have different aspirations. Some people want to prove they're helpless. That's their aspiration. Some people want to prove that they're incompetent. That's their aspiration. Some people want to prove that they're untrustworthy. That's their aspiration. Some people want to prove they're smart by conning everybody. That's their aspiration. If you actually become aware of your aspiration, if it's a pattern, it's something you learn. You had a difficult childhood, so you learned how to try to give too much. Oh, good. Now can you give less and give more to yourself? Because you're the one who needs. You're the one who had the difficult childhood. Oh, okay, can I do that? Can you have two choices, not just one? Not just follow the main pattern. Otherwise, we never learn anything new, do we? If we just keep doing the same routine over and over, do we learn anything new? No. I don't know if you remember, but years ago I used to give people these exercises like, if you always put your left shoe on first, put your right shoe on first. You remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you always eat with your right hand, eat with your left hand. Like, try something out of your sense of habituation. People come and do retreats with me. One of my favorite things to do, if they always like to be right, is ask them to wear their clothes inside out and go outside. At first people do it, but they look like their socks or something. And then after a while they actually take their shirts off and put them on inside out, and they walk around like that. And they come up and they say, "Do you notice anything?" I say, "No." I say, "Well, my t-shirt's inside out." Ha ha ha. Because the other part of the exercise is you have to brag about it. You have to put something on inside out or backward, and then you have to brag about it when you're, you know, to anybody. You can be out in a store and you can say to the clerk, "Oh, I put my t-shirt on backward." That's it. And walk away. So what does that do? It starts a new pattern where you're not so caught by your own rules. Is that true? Can you see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because what are your rules for? They're for making you superior or better or safe, aren't they? Are you superior? Are you better? Are you safe? Are any of the... I know, I'm not asking you.
I was going to shout out, but I won't. Thank you for that.
It doesn't exist. Those things don't exist. But it's a lovely illusion, but it won't bring you into new understanding or new joy. It will just keep you in this isolated little cubicle, won't it?
Mm, frozen.
Frozen. Whereas if you actually try breaking a pattern, and especially this pattern, Which is what? What are we talking about? Which one of the Eightfold Path?
Thought.
Right, thought.
Which is? Good thing you have a notebook, eh, Thomas?
That's right.
Cease to do evil.
Cease to do evil. Feel how you feel.
Learn to do good is the second one. Purify the mind of what?
Duality.
Of good and evil, right and wrong, good and bad. Transcend that casket that stops you from being present in the world. Let yourself just be and be interested. And then you come to the last one, which is thusness. This is the teaching of the Buddhas. Isn't that beautiful? I think any one of these eightfold paths, you could just take it and work with it a whole life. And it would create such change and such joy in your hearts. That's my view. It's only a view. So next one is?
Right speech.
It's almost half an hour. Right speech, which is? The opposite of slander due to the aspiration to promote concord. The opposite of slander. You don't tell stories about someone else. Unless they're good stories.
So don't gossip.
Don't what?
Gossip.
And it's not quite gossip. That's the next one. That's the last one. Idle chatter would be gossip, wouldn't it? Just sort of talking about things that aren't really pertinent to the moment. The first one is the opposite. More of slander, of like defaming someone.
Oh, okay.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of harsh speech, which in order to promote concord. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? No? Yes?
Concord?
Yeah, to promote friendship, getting along with each other, friendship, ease with each other.
Concord?
Yeah.
Harmony.
Harmony, okay, yeah.
Is that good? Yeah. Thank you. And the third one, the opposite of idle chatter, of just going, because you don't know what else to do, you don't know how to just be with someone and be in the moment. Usually, isn't that why you do it, Dawn, or isn't it? Because it's like a way of interacting, and we can see that there will be some kind of slight feeling that one should do that, or you know, that we're supposed to, or isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it stops us from actually practicing just being with another and feeling them on other levels. And maybe one is hypersensitive to that, so one doesn't know what to do with that. So that's why one goes with the blindfolds. But maybe there's nothing to do with that, just letting energy wash through you. Maybe that promotes compassion. Maybe it's easier to recognize a mind state in someone else than it is in oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're your teacher. That's the Buddhist view. All beings are the Buddha. All places are nirvana. All sounds are the divine sound. Wouldn't that be interesting? Would it?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. So, right action. To abstain from killing and harming. Is that possible?
No.
No.
But is it possible to aspire to not kill and harm?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, it's sort of like if you examine any of these, you find that right and wrong are like very weak structures. Every time you eat something hot, how many microbes have you killed on your tongue? I can't eat. Oh no, I'm killing the ones that are inside that are waiting for food. Oh no! Or as Mae West said when she cut her finger, what? And men wouldn't understand this because they don't have menstrual periods. And the blood's coming out, she says, if it ain't one thing, it's another. One of my favorite Mae West lines. Yeah. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Oh yeah, that's the codex.
Yep.
To abstain from killing and harming, to abstain from lying, to abstain from taking what is not freely given. That's a really interesting one, isn't it?
Is that possible, though?
Well, if you're ordained, it's how you have to live.
Yeah,
that's how I live.
Well, let's say that a guy's in the jungle and he's not supposed to, he's got he's not supposed to take anything unless he gets after or an okay from somebody.
No,
something.
The world is somebody.
Huh?
The world is somebody. The world is somebody. A mango will always fall into your bowl if you put it under a mango tree. It's freely given.
I was thinking lots about that lately, you know, actually. There's been times when I haven't had been eating, and I've been thinking about that. Well, if I do that thing, then how, you know? And I don't have no money, and don't take what's not freely given. And
do you ever tell
anybody
that
for something?
No. Do you ever tell somebody that you don't have money and you're hungry?
Well, it's none of their business.
That's not true. You would be surprised how many of us love you. And we care for you to eat.
I don't want to make things difficult for other people.
You're not making things difficult. You're increasing our ability to be generous. You're giving us the power to be your friend. If someone is hungry and they don't tell you, does that make you feel happy or sad?
A little bit angry because it's... Well, okay, I stepped into that one.
He's getting good.
So you see, you're not trusting them to care for you.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. You're allowed to care for them, but they're not allowed to care for you. Maybe you're allowing them to give you something. Do you ever like giving birthday gifts to somebody?
A what?
A birthday gift?
Sure.
Why?
Well...
Ha ha ha, I gave you something. It feels so good.
Okay.
Isn't that why? Because it feels good to give to someone else. You're not letting other people feel good when you don't let them give to you. Is this true?
I'm a small...
Would you like to know if he was hungry?
Yes.
Speak up.
Yes.
Louder.
Yes.
That was only an example. We were just having a talk.
I don't care. I'm telling you that that's everybody's reaction, not just mine.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting to you?
You know, somehow I think I know that, though.
Yeah, you do, but you push it down. You push yourself down. Because you should care for others more. Yes.
If I knew how.
You do know how.
Okay.
When you're hungry, you ask for food. When you're lonely, you phone somebody.
Yeah, well, I was playing this little thing, I guess, with myself because of this no self.
No, that's bullshit. There is no inherent, no fixed self. There's always a self, but it's always changing. There's always a self. But there's as many selves as you can shake sticks at. There's a self that thinks there's no self, and there's a self that thinks there is a self. Isn't there?
Yes.
So which one is the right one? All of them, depending on the circumstance. There's the self that's angry, the self that's sad, the self that's happy, the self that's generous, the self that's miserly, isn't there?
My.
Clinging on to things, the self that's generous, the self that clings. They're all there, aren't they? Not one of them should be gotten rid of. Every one of them has a use. Every self has a power. The question is whether you're using them or they're using you. If you're habituated to always trying to be one self because anything else is good or bad, you're caught in suffering. Because you're not free to be in the moment. You're hungry for being good or hungry for not being bad. Or hungry sometimes for being bad or hungry sometimes for not being good. For being, you know, don't be bad, don't be good. I want to be bad, I don't want to be good. Any of you ever done that when you were kids or even younger? You see that often, don't you? You watch the news, you do. Am I making sense?
Probably dollars.
What?
Probably dollars.
Oh, dollars. Oh, good. Not just cents for dollars.
Wanted to use that line so bad.
Oh,
I got my opportunity.
Everybody gets to groan and everybody. That was very nice of him. Don's laughing like hell. Good for you. You aced that one. Oh yeah, that's better. Cushions. Is that good? All right. So tell me what I said.
Is that good? It better be.
He is so smart, that one. He is so fast. Except when he doesn't want to be.
Yeah, I have a few stripes. It's not all one color.
No, and that's beautiful. That's what I'm saying. That's beautiful. That's what we want. We want to be able to have choices of how we react. As long as we have all the different mind states, not just liking some and trying to get rid of others. Then we have choices, and then we can be more compassionate. When we're with people who have different views or different opinions, we can be interested in how they're using their emotions differently than we are. Can't we?
Wow, that's good.
It's beautiful. It's a totally different take on it. Whereas if something is right and something is wrong, there's a whole lot of things if somebody does, we go, ugh! And then we get away from them because I might do it too. Ugh! Is that compassion? Is that fear? Which is it?
More fear.
Yeah.
But we all do that.
We all have to learn how to identify every mind state and not think it's good or bad, but make a choice whether this is the time we want to use it. We want to make a choice about, do I want to use that mind state now or do I not?
Okay.
There is not one mind state that is not useful. I've said that so many times, haven't I? Mm-hmm. But do you still believe it?
Mm-hmm.
No. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Isn't that true? Any of you ever beat yourselves up for something you've done? Could I have a show of hands on that, mm-hmm. please? Everybody put up their hand.
Yeah, that was my next one.
Yeah. I made dollars. So imagine if you could use all the mind states for that feeling that you have with altruism. Would that be okay?
Mm.
And that there was no danger. No judgment. Because it's the judge that's the biggest problem, isn't it?
Yep.
I don't want. And the judge is driven by hunger, isn't it? Want, don't want. I want this, I don't want that. That's wrong, that's right. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure?
Mm-hmm.
To abstain from killing and harming, from lying, from taking what is not freely given. That's how far we got, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
From having inappropriate sexual relations, such as with children, with people who are engaged, with married people. And so forth. Anything that could cause harm or unhappiness, basically.
But those people that are doing that, they might just, it's okay.
Because they don't know how to curb their desire. They don't know how to see desire. They just let desire push them. And that's what right action is about. It's learning how to stop being driven by your hungers. Isn't it?
Sure, sometimes there's a lot to that.
What do you mean?
You're not supposed to suppress things, you know.
There's a difference between suppressing something or seeing it and choosing not to go there, isn't there? If you see it come to a crossroads, you can pretend there are no crossroads or you can decide which road you want to take, can't you?
Uh-huh.
Is there a difference? If you just pretend there is no other road or you decide which one you want to go? Is there a difference between those two? Oh, you don't like that now.
Well, then the decision to decide.
I love that. The decision to decide. It's beautiful. I love it. Yeah? It's essentially, it's unconscious until we decide to make it conscious. It's like a pattern based on past. We just automatically go that way because it feels comfortable. If we do what we've done before, we feel more comfortable. Whereas if we actually decide we don't want to do what we did before because we don't like the outcome, then we start looking for another option. So then we have two choices. What we usually do and what we'd like to try differently.
It's almost like a circle somehow.
In your mind, is it? Not in mine. It's like being able to make a choice. It's not a circle. Is it a circle to you?
Mm-hmm.
It's more like deciding that there is only one road or seeing that there are many roads. It's like making a choice. Well, I've always done it this way, so I have to keep doing it this way. Or, I've always done it this way, I think I'll try something new. Is that true?
Well, that's pretty simple.
That's all I'm saying. And that's what those emotional patterns are. I've always done it this way, this is the way I do it. Rather than, I think I'll try something different. I think I'll tell other people I'm hungry.
Well, it was not a big deal for me.
What?
It was not a big deal.
But it maybe it's a big deal to other people. Why aren't you kind to them? Don't you like it if somebody else tells you they're hungry?
Well, if I have some food, I'll give it to them.
Yeah, well, exactly. Don't you like that?
Sure.
So, why wouldn't you give other people the same opportunity?
I do.
No, you don't.
No.
That's what you just told me a while ago. You don't tell other people when you're hungry.
Well, not all the time.
Isn't he sneaky? Is he sneaky
slippery.
Or what?
Slippery.
Huh?
Slippery.
He's slippery, yeah. That's what he is. He's slippery.
He's making the decision to decide.
That's right.
Thank you. Did you hear what Bob said?
No.
He said, you're making the decision to decide.
Yeah, probably, you know. Is it,
it's what, going in there somewhere.
I don't know. Is this a mechanism, I guess.
It is a mechanism. And who's driving it? At the moment, it's on automatic.
Yeah.
So now why don't you take over the driver's seat?
I might be wrong.
Why not? How do you learn to ride a bicycle? By doing it right the first time?
By prayer.
Well, why not? But why not make a mistake and still keep praying?
Okay.
Why not keep the aspiration and try again?
See, I was thinking about this yesterday. It's a little bit about sincerity. I think
is sincerity, what does that mean to
well,
you?
Well, being sincere to yourself and then...
Sine means non, seri means lying.
Say that again.
Sincere means not lying. Isn't that interesting? So if you're feeling one thing but you're saying another, is that being sincere? Or is that lying?
It's lying.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying to you, isn't it?
I get away with it a lot, though.
So do I. Did you catch me just then?
Just be polite and didn't point it out.
I was just agreeing with him. Because I should. My mother taught me that. Can we stop at this time? Is that good?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, excellent. We've got 7 minutes left.
Good that we decided to review.
It's worth it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's nice to actually look at these things differently every time and hear different comments and consider it and see how we're not the only one who does something. Aren't we? Yes. We're not the only one. Do you ever second guess?
Periodically.
For example, when you said that. It's kind of fun to actually be honest with this and look at it. It's kind of fun. It's like loosens something, doesn't it?
Well, it's fun to see you can be honest with it.
Of course. And you
well,
can be honest with us.
There's a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can all be honest. Mm-hmm. We can. Mm-hmm. It's always an option. Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. That's from lying, being honest, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Somebody can say, how did you like that, my performance? And you thought they were really bad. And you say, you know, it's funny because I had the feeling that you weren't doing exactly how you like to. It didn't feel like your best performance. That's not lying. It's actually finding a way to say it to them. Because you know that maybe you disliked it because you've seen them perform better and you're comparing it. You know you have your biases, don't you? Anybody in this room doesn't have biases, and if you put up your hand, Don, I'll shoot you with my water. My livelihood. I love this one. Fulfill one's obligations to the best of one's abilities. Fulfill one's obligations to the best of one's abilities. Notice the word abilities in there. As much as one is able. Not more, not less. And able does... It has a very personal meaning, doesn't it? How much are you able to do? There is the urge, and then there is the actual looking at the circumstance and deciding. Sometimes one isn't able to do anything for someone else. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how to be able to say, I'm not able to do anything for them. So look at them and smile. I'm saying, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I was busy trying to change the world, and then this guy named Ananda Bodhi came along and told me it was the inner war I had to stop. And the same with you. It's the inner war you have to stop. The war with yourself that you should. Isn't that true? Isn't that just always going at you? Mm-hmm. It's the inner war we have to stop. We can't be at war with different parts of ourselves and be a lover. Can we? It's not possible. Isn't it fun being a lover? When that whole emotion just takes over and you go, yum, yum, yum. Like having your first slice of the first chocolate cake you ever baked or something. Oh man, this is so good! So then, right effort. This is so beautiful. Identifying the response to sense contact as it arises. And knowing when like, dislike and neutral arise. When a sense contact like that music that you can hear playing, when that comes in, knowing when you like it, dislike it, or are neutral to it. just seeing the like and dislike and neutral, not changing it, not going with it. So you watch those dances. You don't get caught in them. You don't say, oh, will you close the windows? That sound is driving me nuts. It's making me lose my train of thought. I keep thinking about when my neighbor was playing the flute and I hated it because it was just awful, you know. Or, oh, that reminds me of when my sister was learning how to play a flute. It was such a wonderful time. She was already dead. Or, oh yeah, I don't care. I'll just blank it out. I'm neutral. I don't mind. Nothing matters. Seeing it. Seeing what your mind does. Do you allow it without being caught? And if you can do that, isn't that right effort going to make it easy for you to allow any mind state without getting caught in it? Seeing like, dislike, and neutral without getting caught by them, without being driven by them. Oh, I like doing this, I'm going to do it. I dislike doing this, I'm going to do it. Oh, I like doing this. Is this a good time to do it? Oh, I dislike doing this. Is this a good time to do it? Oh, I'm neutral about doing this. Should I be more open? Would I like to be more open? Better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, thinker, what?
No, I'm just listening because I'm still trying to get this thing so that it works, this aspiration thing.
What do you mean by work?
Well, aspirations are a big deal, in a way.
What do you mean by work? They always work. Our aspirations always work.
Okay.
They always have an effect.
So we understand what's going on with them.
The effects come from our aspiration. The result of something comes from our aspiration. We feel good or bad or neutral, depending on our aspiration, don't we? We wanted to do something, we didn't want to do something. Isn't that true? No? Mm-hmm. Not sure?
Well, sometimes there's spontaneity, isn't there, where you don't have the intentionality before that?
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying, being able to see like, dislike, and neutral, and then decide to be spontaneous in the moment. Mm-hmm. If you don't see like, dislike, and neutral, you can't be spontaneous, can you? Mm-hmm. Huh? Aren't you driven by pattern? Is spontaneous following a pattern, or is it allowing a new possibility?
Possibility.
Son of a gun. So that's exactly what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. So the aspiration is like an antidote to a poison.
Exactly.
So I find myself sometimes I get frustrated about some things, and then I'm not sleeping well, and then I wake up in the night and go, oh, I'm so sick of being in this state of negativity, and I start doing loving kindness, and I do it badly. I'm going, because I'm so sleepy, I'm going, oh no, I should have thought about everybody in the room first. Oh well, I'll just say the mantra. and then I fall back asleep, but it kind of, it just
gives you a choice,
and it's like a neutralizing agent to an acid.
Yeah, it is. It's like an aspiration to be aware of the negative and choose kindness. And so the result depends on the aspiration.
It's just the aspiration. You don't have to worry whether or not it's going to work. And
that's another aspiration. Yeah. I want it to work. That's still about it's grasping after a self, whereas loving kindness is altruistic. Yeah. Isn't it?
Yes.
Interesting, isn't it? You know what? Time's up. And so when you can identify the sense object and like, dislike, and neutral, then you have the power of equanimity.
Say that again?
When you can identify the whole thing about seeing subject, object, and the like, dislike, and neutral, then you have the power of equanimity. Then you can see that like, dislike, and neutral, they're all equal. And you don't have a preference.
So equanimity is equal?
Yeah, it's the same word. Equan, equal.
That's a new one.
Mean not moved by like or dislike or neutral. Being in a state of equanimity means to see things as they are. It's the last stage of the four stages of awakening, where you let go of subject-object duality completely. There's no self, there's no object, and there's no other self and object, nor not self, nor not object, or so forth and so forth.
I just have to stay with equal for a couple of days.
Okay, good. That's excellent. And guess what? We didn't even get to the one we did yesterday. Right mindfulness. Do you want me to just quickly mention it, or do you want to leave it?
Yes, mention it.
Okay. So right mindfulness is very straightforward, too, in a certain way. Did we actually go there yesterday? Apamandena. Yeah, apamandena sampadeta. Strive on with diligence. That was the last words of the Buddha to his followers. Apamadena sampadeja. Strive on with diligence toward your goal. Strive on with diligence is how you should translate it. Continue with diligence, which means apamadena, diligent heedfulness. Keep bringing the mind back. That's why I say it's always the first time, because otherwise you start criticizing yourself, don't you? I should have. Any of you ever? I should have. No. It's always the first time. That makes you diligent. Oh, I caught it. Then you're actually like turning to the wholesome, aren't you? And so it really also goes to mindfulness of the appearance of each step of the Eightfold Path, and in particular mindfulness of awareness of body, awareness of feelings, awareness of mental states. Oh, this is dullness. Oh, this is happiness. Oh, this is... And awareness of mind objects, where the mind keeps being drawn and where it doesn't want to be drawn.
Can you say those again?
Awareness of body.
Yeah.
So this is what the four foundations of mindfulness, essentially, which is what the way is particularly stressed in the Theravadin tradition. The meditation on the breath is aware of. The best way, by the way, to watch your breath is from your back, because your back is moving with every breath. And if you watch it from here, it's only a matter of time before you've made every breath even, so you can think without having to watch your... Isn't that true? But as if you're actually trying to feel each movement of the breath on your back, because your lungs are moving your back. You're a little further from your brain. And it takes longer to interfere. And you actually see the difference between each breath. It's remarkably different. So, awareness of body, awareness of feeling. And this is like, there are five kinds of feeling, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
any of this familiar? Familiar, but you don't remember? Okay. There are two of the physical, pleasure and pain. There are three of the mental, like, dislike, and neutral. So that's what you become aware of. And then as you get more fine in it, you can say coolness. I feel coolness here. I feel warmth here. And then you can see like, dislike, and neutral. I don't like the coolness, or I do like the coolness. I don't like the warmth, or, you know. Oh, there is dislike. You know, not I. There is dislike of this one or like of this one. And so that you're able to be distant from it a bit. You see it rather than being caught by it pushing you. Awareness of mental states. Oh, this is a cloudy mental state. Oh, this is a worried mental state. Oh, this is a dull mental state. Oh, this is a questioning mental state. Oh, this is a fear mental state. Oh, this is a joy mental state. So forth and so forth. And then awareness of mind objects. Where the thought, where the mind pins.
Where the mind
pins itself, thumbtacks itself. So that's right mindfulness. So I said a little more than I did yesterday about mindfulness, and I included the four. So next month we get to do the right concentration, which is the last of the Eightfold Path. Next month we get to do right concentration, which is the last one, a stage of the Eightfold Path. Hopefully we get to do it. Or not.
Well, we only got one thing to review from tonight then, because we've already reviewed it.
Yeah, but we review it every time. And there's always different questions, or I say it a slightly different way, and that makes it look different. Is that true? So any last questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Yes, no, neutral.
The time is too short. How is that?
Goes fast sometimes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you notice this beautiful gold light in your hearts. Beautiful gold light is just shimmering away there. Spreads through your body, through your ribs, up your shoulders, down your hips. It's like somebody is lighting this beautiful gold light inside you. It's you. Down your legs, down your arms, up your neck, up your head. Pours out your pores in all directions, above, below, in front, behind, right, left, four quarters. Please don't close your eyes or get all holy in me or in front of me, or I'll throw my teeth at you. Excellent. Thank you. And then it just fills this whole house, the neighborhood. Anybody you want to pray for, you know, like Jung's dad and stepmother. Anybody at all, anywhere, anyone you want to think of. Just imagine them being washed by this gold light. Amber just got a hit. Moves through the trees, it moves through the oceans, it moves through the whole earth. Wherever there is suffering due to ignorance of body, speech, or mind, it's just temporarily assuaged. And you think whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings, so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings. So there is this. So thank you for your compassion. Thank you. Okay.